Luke chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. These are the words of God. Now it happened on another Sabbath also that he entered the synagogue and taught. And a man was there whose right hand was withered. So the scribes and Pharisees watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Arise, stand here." And he arose and stood. Then Jesus said to them, "I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to destroy?" And when he had looked around at them all, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he did so. And his hand was restored as whole as the other. But they were filled with rage and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Thus ends this reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. My dear children, the Lord's Day is a day in which God does us good, is a day in which God saves our life. It is a day in which God's Word accomplishes in us and for us what God tells us to do. In the previous passage, in the first five verses, we learned what the Sabbath day is especially about. It's about being with the Lord of the Sabbath. It's about being with Jesus. In these verses, we learn what kind of day the Sabbath day is, the Lord's day is, this day with Jesus. And that is that it's a day of blessing. And so as the Sabbath comes, as it approaches, we should begin to be excited. We should desire it. We should be glad that it is almost here. And on the Lord's Day, we should rejoice that it is the best of days. It is the Jesus Day. He is, especially in the New Testament, whenever it says the Lord, it very specifically means Jesus. So that we are to remember whenever we see the Lord or Yahweh in the Old Testament, that this is the one who came in the flesh to save us. We are to think of him there too. Therefore, the Lord's Day is a very special and happy day. But the scribes and Pharisees did not see it as a blessing. They did not see it as a gift from God. They saw it as a burden, as a weight to be borne so that they could show God how much they do for him by the great sacrifice of not doing all the stuff they would have rather done. And that's why the Lord Jesus takes this opportunity to highlight, to declare, to show that the Sabbath is a day for doing good and a day for saving life. In fact, all that the Lord commands, he does. He enables by his own power. And we see that even in how he heals this man, don't we? The Lord Jesus commands the man with the withered hand, which means his hand is all shriveled up and it won't extend. What does he command him to do? The thing that his hand can't do. He commands him to extend his hand. Just so, and the Lord tells us to consecrate his day, to view it as holy, to not do any of the things from which it is being consecrated, but only to do those things for which it is consecrated, as a day of worship unto him. And we say, "I can't, my soul is withered. It will not extend out to God. I have lent out my soul to all of the earthly things that so often consume my heart in my remaining sinfulness." The Lord Jesus says, Just obey the command. My word has in it the power to enable you to do what I command. And so, as we keep his day, we find the promise of Isaiah 58 fulfilled, that if we delight in his day, then he will use that to make us to delight in him. And you know, it becomes much more easy, much easier when we start to delight in him, delighting in his day. And so if we view the Lord's day as a burden, and it's not just those who polish up their golden stars and how well they keep it, who are viewing it as a burden. There are many people who say, I don't want to do that. Aren't they viewing it as a burden too? Don't they have the same view of the goodness of the day as the Pharisees and scribes here? They should say, ah, this is the day in which Jesus does us good. This is a day in which Jesus gives us life. Jesus' word has in it the power to help me love this day and delight in this day. We should not just view the Lord's Day as a day, verses 1 through 5, that is for Jesus especially, but we should also make sure that we are viewing it as something that is pleasant and good and delightful, verses 6 through 11. Lest we be like the Pharisees, who began this day looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, and ended it even worse, discussing with one another what they could do to Jesus. Just so, those who would prefer the day before other things reject Jesus in their hearts. They do not find delight in him. They say, oh, setting aside, consecrating the whole day to him like he says in his word, that's a burden. These other things, those are the things that refresh me, that give me rest, and I will do them instead. The Lord save us, even by this part of his word, from having the mind of the Pharisees towards Christ and his day. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray for me and for my children here, that you would help us to love your day. Our flesh resists it. There are other things that we wish we could do when we are thinking and feeling sinfully. And yet, O Lord, you are our inheritance. You yourself are your own greatest gift for us. It is good to be with you. Whom have we in heaven but you? And there is nothing else on earth we would desire beside you. And so we pray that your Spirit would stir up the desires and pleasures of our new nature, so that we would treat your day that we get to spend in fellowship with you, and especially in that public worship in which we commune with you and ascend to heaven by faith, as it were, in a way that is not available to us at other times. Help us to love your day, and by delighting in your day, grant that we would also come more and more to delight in you. Do this for us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.